Jesus. I'm begging you, please, 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 give me more cheese, cheese, cheese. Cause that's what I like, that's what I like.
Okay. Little cheesy music to get the program going here today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking today about cheese with Jerry Apps, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison. And he'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. But it's our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall member drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. And joining me is, I'm going to call him in honor of the show today, the outgoing head cheese of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane.
Oh, dear. You had me at Jerry Apps, but when you added cheese, I was like, this is going to be a fun hour. And you just topped yourself.
Well, you know, this is an important time, and I'm really glad you're here because listener support is so important.
It is. It's the biggest source of funding for WPR's programs. So that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from, I believe, 28 donors, and thanks to everybody who gave. Our goal this hour is to get 25 gifts.
I'm sure we can do that with your help. Help to pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're a public radio station. What does public radio mean? It means listener-supported radio, and while we appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support is really the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So your contribution, any amount, really matters at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right, and maybe you could think of it this way. You first joined the WPR community as a listener, tuning in lots and lots more over time. And after a while, it's time to join the community as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR, after all, is a group effort.
We do this together, one gift at a time, a dollar at a time. And if you've never given before, maybe start with a donation of, say, $100 or maybe $10 a month. Do it that way. Whatever amount is right for you. It's easy to give. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You could win an extra $250 to spend at the grocery store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. Stock up on the healthy food you know you should eat more of, or splurge on your favorite snacks. Five lucky winners will receive a gift card for their local grocery store. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong, and your contribution, whether it's $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Yeah, we really do count on it. And giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, perhaps $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
Well, I'm excited that we're going to be getting to the conversation with Jerry Apps and cheese. Sounds really good. We have about 49 minutes left in the hour. We're still looking for 25 people to make their contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $250 grocery gift card. In fact, you get five chances to win, so why not give right now at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552. And I did want to mention sustainers. If you're making monthly ongoing gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. Larry, I want to share a couple of comments about you and the show. Sadie in Oconto says, very simply, I love Larry Mueller's show. And a listener from Trout Valley, Illinois says, listening every morning to Larry Mueller, and it keeps me connected to Wisconsin.
Oh, man. Thanks. Thanks to both of you for those comments. And I'm sure they've contributed. Your gift. What about you? Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. We'd love to have you do that. And we'd love to hear from Jerry Apps. Jerry and I have had some great conversations over time. He is a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's authored many books on rural history, country life, and the environment. We're talking about his book, Cheese, to start the show, that was titled Cheese, The Making of a Wisconsin Tradition. So what would you like to know about the history of cheese making in our state? Maybe you were involved in it, or maybe you had family members who were involved in it. I hope you'll join the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. So join in. Jerry Apps, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
I'm more than pleased to be here, Larry.
You got the second edition of your book, again titled Cheese, The Making of a Wisconsin Tradition. Came out last year, almost 20 years after the first. And talk about why you thought this was a good time for an update.
Well, actually, it's 22 years ago that I wrote the first edition. And there's a lot that has happened in the cheese industry and in the dairy industry generally in the last 22 years. So it seemed appropriate that I should take some time and dig out some of the research of what's been happening in recent years. And a lot's been happening, and it's been really quite interesting.
Yeah, it is indeed. And you know, we've been making cheese in Wisconsin for a long time. When did it start?
Well, that's a very good question, because it's a little tricky to identify when the first cheese factory opened. But just to give folks a little background, and I think many people know this, we, for many, many years in the early days, the early history of Wisconsin, we were known for not cheese and not milk, but for wheat.
Right.
We were a wheat-growing state for many years. And the idea of milking cows was the furthest away from these wheat growers, albeit a goodly number of them had come from New York State, where they had been involved with dairy farming. So they knew dairying, but they wanted to make big money with wheat. And so that's what was going on in Wisconsin. One of the very earliest of the what might be called a cheese factory opened up in 1841, which is 7 years before we were a state. And a woman by the name of Ann Pickett, she established this first little cheese factory, and she had, I looked it up. Her neighbors, several of her neighbors had a cow or two, and they contributed their milk to her little cheese factory. But at that time, farmers had maybe one or two cows to provide enough milk, cheese, and butter for the family. And that was about it, because they were busy growing wheat. And the idea of dealing with cows, that was women's work. These men had nothing to do with the cows. The women took care of them, and they pretty much dried them up in the wintertime because there weren't any barns to mount anything. They sort of huddled in there were horse barns and that sort of thing, but nobody thought, for heaven's sakes, that a cow might milk in the wintertime. That would be a nuisance, for heaven's sake. So the early beginnings are really kind of interesting. When dairying was the furthest from anybody's mind, in fact, it was seen as something that only women should do. Men should not again get involved with that kind of stuff.
Well, how did it get turned around? What turned it
around? Well, they got turned around because they had to. First, 1862, in the midst of the Civil War, Wisconsin was the number two wheat-producing state in the nation. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Of course, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, all those places hadn't even opened up yet. But then, farmers did not know that you cannot plant the same crop on the same field year after year and expect a yield. And so that was happening. The yields were decreasing. And then an insect called the chinch bug came in and began sucking the juice out of the wheat. And pretty soon the yields had come down so low that the farmers were, what are we going to do? We sort of like it here in Wisconsin, and we're farmers, but we can't grow wheat anymore. So they were forced to change. And now here's a really fascinating thing. Remember I mentioned that many of these early immigrants, that's the wrong word, because there were immigrants who were coming from Europe, but these early pioneer, that's the word I want, pioneer farmers coming from New York State knew about dairying, and they said, well, geez, what, maybe we could try some milking cows. Maybe we should do that. But that's going to be a stretch, because that we shouldn't have to do that. And it took, can you believe this, it took about 30 years for these wheat-growing men to begin listening to their neighbors, many of whom had come from New York State, and especially people like William Dempster Hoard. He saw what was happening. He knew that farmers were not going to make it growing wheat anymore. And so he moved around the state, and he proclaimed that King Wheat is dead. Queen Cow will make it. And it sounds kind of corny, but that's what he did. And, of course, he was one of our governors. He also started Hoard's Dairyman magazine, which is still in existence. So slowly, these men began to realize that if we're going to make it as farmers, we're going to have to do something different.
Yeah.
Do something different. We're going to take up dairying. And now a whole complicated series of new learnings had to take place.
You know, I'm housed in my other position as a professor at UW-Madison in Hiram Smith Hall. There's a photo that we found and had blown up, and we have it on the first floor when you come into Hiram Smith Hall, because Hiram Smith Hall, the photo is of the first cheese-making class at the Wisconsin Dairy School in 1907.
Yeah, and it started back in the late 1800s at the College of Agriculture, began to support
yes. The
dairy industry big time. And one way was the dairy school, which trained butter and cheesemakers. That was the idea of it. So that I'm sure that's and Hiram Smith and his brother John Smith, they were some of the, they're from Sheboygan area, Sheboygan Falls area. His brother was one of the early cheesemakers in the state as well, early dairy farmers. So, and they were New Yorkers too, along with Hiram Smith, along with Hoard.
Having some fun today talking with Jerry Apps about a little bit about his book. It's titled Cheese, The Making of a Wisconsin Tradition. Hope you'll join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. But we're in our fall member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike Crane joins me again, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
And that's because listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have, what do we have left? About 38 minutes or so left in the hour. And we have a goal of 25 pledges during this hour. So far we have 4, so we've got a few more to go. When you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other programs you count on at WPR. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
There are so many things to love about Wisconsin, and you hear a lot of it right here on the Larry Mueller Show. It's a beautiful state, the parks, the forests, the rivers, some of the best things about living here. And, of course, cheese is one of the great parts of living here.
And we like to think of WPR as part of what makes Wisconsin special. It's like a natural resource, something that's available to you and everyone else, and something that's fundamental to life in Wisconsin. With your gift, you keep WPR strong. A strong resource that everyone can enjoy. So I hope you'll contribute right now. Do it now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're very grateful for all our donors, including those who give annually or even just once in a while. But how about becoming a sustainer? As a sustaining member, you give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, that will automatically come out of your bank account or credit card, and then your monthly gift will continue unless you ask us to make a change.
And this means we can depend on you the way you depend on us. Day in, year out, you're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So why not become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This member drive, we're offering a cozy navy long sleeve t-shirt. It features a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back and is perfect for all your favorite fall activities. What do you love about fall?
To me, fall's always been the perfect season because it's done being hot and it hasn't started getting cold. And plus, my birthday's in the fall, so as a kid, that was always a big attraction. But it's apple time, it's pumpkin time, it's football time. Go Pack, go.
What's not to love about the fall? You get that crisp air.
I finally get to wear the many vests that I own. I get to justify owning those.
Wear your new WPR long sleeve t-shirt as you join in on your favorite fall activities. Ask for yours now when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so important. And your gift, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we have about 36 minutes left this hour. We're looking for 21 more people to join in. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on, just like the Larry Mueller Show, every day.
We are listener-powered right here at WPR. That means that your donation right now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
And you'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs you love. See what that's like right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
21 more people to support the programs will help us meet our goal this hour. WPR is listener-powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Yeah, support the programs you value, and you can join me in getting one of those WPR long-sleeve shirts. I'm going to have one of those. I'll make my contribution to get that shirt. I like it because it's got the WPR logo on the front, and there's a kind of a cool Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. I like it. And if you give $20 a month or more and ask for yours, you can do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Julian New Richmond says, Wisconsin Public Radio is great, especially enjoy the Larry Mueller Show and guests. I always learn something.
So your gift right now, so important. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here visiting with Jerry Apps, Professor Emeritus at UW, and the author of many books on rural history, country life, and the environment, including his second edition of his book, Cheese, The Making of a Wisconsin Tradition. And fascinating read. You know, Jerry, how did Wisconsin become known for cheese making?
Well, first off, it became known for cheese making because by 1910, we had exceeded the production of milk and cheese. New York had been the leader, New York State, so that we became the national leader and became known as the dairy state not long after that. Now, quality was one of the important dimensions of our becoming a famous cheese-making state. Not only did we make a lot of it, and today we make even a lot more of it than we made back in the early days, but the quality of the cheese was outstanding. We have, and we from the very beginning and continuing today, some of the most skilled cheesemakers that you'll find anywhere in the world. And that is proven by the awards that cheesemakers make at all of the various competitive events that are held internationally and nationally. So quality, and now today it's diversity too. We make, the cheesemakers make, 600 different kinds of cheese. We have something for everybody's taste. And so diversity, all kinds of the quality first rate, and anyway, those are some of the reasons why we have become and continue to be a leader in the nation in cheese making.
Jerry Apps, our guest today. Questions about cheese or cheese making? Maybe an experience to share relating to it, or maybe your favorite cheese? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Speaking of emails, Bert in Sparta emailed that his grandmother always said that it was necessary to have a creamery every 10 miles since it was only practical to haul fresh milk about 5 miles by horse.
Well, she's right. In fact, we had, just to give you a little sense of how many there were, in 1860, we had 30 cheese factories. 1879, there were 90. And by 1880, we had 700. And then by 1925, I think, we had 2,000 cheese factories. And the idea was, of course, these early cheese factories, there wasn't such a thing as a car or truck or anything like that. All of the milk was delivered by horse and wagon or buggy. And most of the cheese factories were indeed within 2 or 3 miles of where anyone might live. And so the taking milk to the cheese factory was a social event for farmers. They'd milk their cows, and some of them they were using, can you imagine, this 30-gallon cans, and they would go off to the cheese factory, and their neighbors would be waiting in line to dump their milk into the vats, and so it was really an interesting time. And so there were indeed cheese factories almost at every crossroads throughout, especially southern Wisconsin.
And you can still see many of those. Some of them aren't. Well, many of them aren't in operation anymore. But you can see those old buildings pretty much all over the state, can't you?
Yeah, you can spot them quite easily because the cheese factories in those days, in the early days, the cheese maker and his family lived in the cheese factory. So some of them continued as homes today. But they have and I have a bunch of pictures of those in my book where you can see. But it's not difficult to spot where the old cheese factories were located.
Maybe it'd be worth it. Well, I had a question for you here about making cheese. But I know we've got a caller online who has a question here that'll be coming up pretty shortly. But that whole process, were most of those cheese factories, were they located on water or near water?
Yes, that's a very interesting and important point. Because unfortunately, the waste products from cheesemaking included a lot of waste water. And so if you're near a creek or a moving stream, it was just handy to dump it all in the stream, and that happened regularly. And so absolutely right. Almost all were located on a river or a stream.
Bart in central Wisconsin, let's give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Back in the late 60s and early 70s, our family owned a cheese factory between Marshfield and Stevens Point. And all my brothers and I were licensed cheesemakers. I was licensed at the age of 14. I had two younger brothers that were licensed at the age of 13. In fact, one of them was a couple of days before his 13th birthday. So it was progressively over several years, of course. My oldest brother made cheese for 30 years. I made it for 9 and then went on to other things. So it was kind of a family affair for a while.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. If you look at the genealogy of families throughout Wisconsin, very many of them have a cheesemaker in the family somewhere along the line. They were just a lot of folks, and still are, a lot of folks making cheese.
Bart, thanks so much. Bruce in McFarland emailed to ask if it's true that Wisconsin is the only state that requires cheesemakers to be licensed. How did that come about?
I don't know if that's true today, but it was for a long time. Cheesemakers had to have a license. It could very well be true today, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, and the licensing, I imagine it was a way to ensure that the quality of the product?
Exactly. See, because there were some problems in the early days where some of the cheese was not up to par quality-wise. And the market, especially international market, was suffering because of that. And so that was one of the reasons that the legislature passed a law that there should be a license, and that license required adherence to certain quality standards. That was a very important piece of legislation. And in some ways, I say this in my book, it saved the industry.
Kenneth in Janesville called to ask about Colby and why it's associated with Wisconsin.
Well, Colby cheese, we have two cheeses in Wisconsin that were created in the state, and Colby is one of them. Colby is a village up, let's see, it's on the border of Marathon and Clark County. That's a little village. And cheesemakers there, as the story goes, were making cheddar, I believe, and something in the process failed, and to save it, they ended up with a different kind of cheese, Colby. And Colby has become is a good cheese. They all are, but it's a very special in that it has its roots in Wisconsin. We have one other, Brick cheese, has its roots in Dodge County. So we have just two cheeses that were created in Wisconsin as very special, unique cheeses. Now we have a whole raft of other specialty cheeses that have been created in Wisconsin. That's another story.
It is indeed. Jerry Apps, our guest. Give a call with your questions or comments. The number's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you could talk about the basics of cheese making, Jerry. And how do those early manufacturers maybe make the cheese?
Well, let me go back to home cheese making, because the process of early cheese making is pretty much the same. It started with whole milk, not
skim
cream
or something,
or so on, but whole milk. Started with whole milk, and then there was a rennet is added. Now, rennet is naturally occurring in the fourth stomach of a calf. Isn't that kind of strange?
Yeah.
And that's how they got their first rennet. And the women just hated that because you had to kill a calf to get the rennet, for heaven's sakes. Once you had it, you could store it. The rennet would last for a year or so. So the rennet in the milk causes it to coagulate. And then pretty soon you end up with curd, cheese curd. Anybody hear of cheese curd? and then the curd is pressed. The big old cheese press, and then you end up with the cheese that is stored. It depends on the kind of cheese, of course. It's a little different from variety to variety. But some of the early cheeses, they ended up on the shelf in the cheese factory to be to age for a period of time. And again, it depended on the kind of cheese that you were making. And there is considerable difference from variety to variety.
There is indeed. Vern and Nina, your turn. Hi, Vern.
Good morning. I have a very interesting story. I was born in 1932, and I walked to school. I was 5 years old in the first grade. I was born on a farm between Dale and Reedfield, Wisconsin, Wapaka County. And we had our cheese factory a half mile from our house. And then on my way to school, two miles down the road was another cheese factory. So I passed two cheese factories on my way to grade school. But they were closed when I started grade school in 37. But then we had another cheese factory that was just a little bit further, so that was probably 3 miles down the road. But when I went to school, I walked 3 miles, or later I took my bicycle. But when I walked, sometimes a cheesemaker would come to our house, and he'd pick up our milk, and then I would ride along with him for a ways until I couldn't, until his route changed. And he always had a box on the passenger side of his truck with butter in. So if the farmer wanted some butter, he'd always have butter for them to buy.
Oh, that is a great
story. That's a great story. And, you know, it's almost exactly the same as my story. I was 5 years old when I was in first grade, and I walked to a one-room country school. You're 2 years ahead of me. I was in 1939 that I did that. The difference was that we had no cheese factory to walk past. The nearest cheese factory was in Wild Rose, which was 4 miles away.
Jerry, thank you so much, Vern. I love that story. Jerry Apps, our guest today, as we talk cheese with him. And we're talking WPR as well with Mike Crane, because we're in our fall member drive. And here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
And you know, Larry, if there are two things we could do during our member drive, they would be to remind people, one, that listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on. And the second is to make a gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's see, we have 7 gifts so far, and we're about 20 minutes to go to reach our goal of 25. So we got a few to go yet. And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, this would be a really great time to do it. Help us meet our goal at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Well, and aren't we enjoying today? We've been learning about cheese from Jerry Apps. It seems like we've been America's dairyland forever. So it was interesting to learn from Jerry that wheat was a primary crop.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. And that we make more than 600 varieties of cheese. Remarkable. These conversations are made possible by WPR's listeners. So that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes. It's all you need. And make your gift.
And once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. I think WPR is one place where that's true every day. You might consider a gift of $2 a day to support the programs you love.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to buy much with $2 anymore, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, that makes a lot of news and talk and music possible when we put all of the dollars together from people like you. So that works out, that $2 to $60 a month. Maybe you could make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Mike Crane. Your support during our fall member drive makes the programs you rely on possible. Your gift could be $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Support the programs you love right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And here's another step we'd like you to take if you can. Check with your employer about matching your gift.
Many employers will match their employees' gifts, even retired employees, to mirror the good that they do in the community. So ask your HR department or after you've made your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Check back in with your company on your website take a look at WPR.org/match. Thank you for going that extra step for the programs you care about.
Well, I know we all want to hear more from Jerry Apps, but I want to mention one other thing. As an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you into a drawing for a $250 grocery gift card. Maybe you could buy some cheese, right, Larry? And you have five chances to win. You don't have to contribute. You can see the information about that at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give it any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference. And gee, you have a nice comment from Susan in Colfax.
She loves everything. The morning show, Larry, 1A, Central Time, and Science Friday are all favorites.
Give right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you.
Cheese, 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 I'm begging you, please.
Oh, yeah. Give me more cheese. Well, give me more of Jerry Apps. Why don't we do that? Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for being with us today as we talk cheese with Jerry. He has written so many books, and he has a book titled Cheese, The Making of a Wisconsin Tradition, the second edition. Just came out this past year, and so we're talking with him about the history of cheese right up to the present. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Jerry, we have Bev and Rhinelander with something for us. Bev, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just had to call and tell you that my husband was born in a cheese factory on a dark and stormy night. it was near Teresa, and we went there and tried to find the cheese factory. Of course, we went to, I think, Widmer Cheese Factory there, and he said, well, there were so many back then. This was 79 years, or now it would be years ago. But, yes, he was born. His dad was a cheesemaker, and then after he was about 5 months old, they moved to Sturgeon Bay. But he was born in the cheese factory. So.
That's a great story, Jerry.
Yeah, that's most interesting. And I suspect there are quite a few kids born in cheese factories. I'm sure that's true.
Well, as you say, so many, if you had a cheese factory, a small cheese factory, many of them lived upstairs from the cheese
factory. They lived up above, yes. And the kids grew up working in the cheese factory. I've got several stories like that in my book.
Bev, thanks again. Elise in Green Bay. Hi.
Larry, you said all of my family's story, the story really of Wisconsin. My name is Elise Klessig-Heimerl from Manitowoc County, Cleveland. My great-great-grandparents arrived in America in 1848, and they made a tidy profit from selling wheat to the Union Army during the Civil War. And when the cinch bug hit, my great-great-grandmother, Elizabeth Wagner Klessig, started cheesemaking in 1869, and her husband built a full manufacturing plant that took in 6,500 pounds of their neighbor's milk per day. And in 1882, their cheese took a premium award from the Wisconsin State Fair. As time continued, my husband Jerry Heimerl founded the third cheese factory and branded Saxon Creamery cheese across the nation. And now in 2021, six generations later, our daughter Paula and her fiancé from Paris, France, just debuted a newly introduced Wisconsin specialty cheese, Mount Raclette. So the tradition runs deep in our blood from the pioneers to the present. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Elise.
What a fantastic story. That's exactly how it happened, as you explained it. Some people question me sometimes, say, well, what this with that cinch bug and all that stuff? Well, it's true, and your story is an excellent example of what happened.
And Elise, if you're still there, what was the name of that cheese that your daughter is introduced?
They just introduced it last month. It's called Mount Raclette, and the name of their cheese business is Alpinage.
Alpinage.
Well, great.
Alpinage, 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 Nage.
So now we can say 601 different varieties.
Right. Oh, what a great story. Elise, thank you so much for that. What a great tradition. Anne in Waukesha, what's on your mind?
Hi. Hi, guys. I'm the granddaughter of a pioneer, great-granddaughter. Great-great-granddaughter of a pioneer, and the number one milk fat producer cow in the world was my great-grandfather's. That was my little break. But I have a riddle for you, Jerry. It was made by my husband, Jerry. If Jesus ate cheeses, what cheese would please Jesus?
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I've got to say I don't know. Tell me what.
Because it's holy.
Oh, Swiss, because it's holy. Oh. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
well,
man.
Milk producer 1900 was the cow. I forget her name. But great-grandpa just had pictures of cows. He didn't have any pictures of the family. And she produced over 1,000 pounds of milk fat in 1 year and was a world-class cow.
Oh, Ann, thank you so much.
Thanks.
That's a great story. Well, Dan in Shorewood, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Dan.
Hi. My question is this. I had heard that the only difference between Colby and Longhorn cheese was the size of the vat that it was made in. And I would just wondered if you could verify that or give any other
The best answer
update.
I can give you is I don't know. That's a really interesting question because Longhorn is one way of marketing cheese. It's a style of marketing. It's a shape of the product. And I always associated Longhorn with cheddar, but there may be other varieties that are also with Longhorn. I shouldn't speculate because I don't know.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Eleni in Janesville. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Ah, good morning. I just wanted to comment how much I appreciate Jerry App. I'm a city girl. You know, I had an aunt and uncle at a farm that we visited once or twice a year, but you are such a blessing because you have such a beautiful ability to recount what went on. And God bless you and thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Some days I wonder why I'm doing all this stuff. And when I hear from people like you, well, I'm good for another day.
Yeah, absolutely. Eleni, well, and you're right too, Eleni. Thank you very much for that call. Dave Inacio called to ask if the cheese factory in Monroe, it's the only place that produces Limburger cheese in the country, or is it the only place?
That is absolutely correct. It's a chalet. Let's see, I've got here simply, so I've got some notes. Chalet Cheese Factory in Monroe, and they today are the only cheese factory, I think, in North America that's making Limburger cheese. And for folks who don't know about Limburger cheese, I just need to make a comment or two, because it was a very popular and important cheese, especially in Greene County and associated with the Swiss who settled there. And people don't know that Limburger cheese at one time in Greene County was more important than Swiss cheese. I mean, it was the number one cheese in Greene County. Now, those who don't know about Limburger cheese ought to be aware that when you buy it and you open it up, be prepared for an experience that may catch you unawares. In fact, when I was writing this book, I bought some Limburger cheese so that I could be personally acquainted with it. And my wife said, that's got to go into the garage.
Jerry Epps, our guest today, talking about cheese, and we'll get talk some more about Limburger at some point, but I want to bring Mike Crane back in, because we're in our fall member drive, and Mike, we're getting to the top of the hour here, and we really need to remind you, as you listen to Mike and I talk, that we're here to raise some money for the programs that you enjoy.
That's exactly right, and boy, are we enjoying today, Larry.
So I hope you'll go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And still looking for, how many are we looking
for? We're looking for 9 more people to make their contribution right now. And it's really important, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, boy, the time is right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, I've just loved hearing all of our listeners' questions and stories, and even the silly cheese joke. Our callers really make the Ideas Network magic. You could say that WPR is listener-created in a way. And it's definitely listener-supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you and make your gift.
And we have that beautiful new long-sleeve shirt this year, printed right here in Wisconsin, WPR logo on the front and a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. Show your pride and just give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you can have one of those shirts.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation for the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Mike Crane. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we count on your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 9 more people to join in during this close of this hour. That'll mean we'd meet our goal. And that helps us make sure the funding is there for the programs you enjoy. It's easy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can join your friends and neighbors who believe in the value of WPR, believe in supporting it. It takes, I think it's about 50,000 members to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it can be.
That's right. And when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, 5-2. You'll be doing your part to make sure the news and information and entertainment you need is here every day.
And we are up to the top of the hour here. We just have a minute left in the hour. We're still looking for eight, I think, more contributions. If you haven't contributed yet, I hope you'll do it right now. Help us reach our goal. Easy to do. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you can ask for that wonderful light blue Wisconsin-inspired design soft navy shirt when you make a gift of $20 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Diana in Reedsburg said thank you, Larry, for this show. And I want to thank you, Diana, for your contribution. And I want to thank you, too. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We'll be back with Jerry Apps right after this look at the news. Thanks so much if you've contributed. If you haven't yet, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Mike Crane. I'm begging you, please. Cheese, cheese, cheese. I'm begging you, please, please, please. Give me more cheese, cheese, cheese. Ah, more cheese. I love cheese. I bet you do, too. Hope you do. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jerry Apps. Wanted to give a shout-out to our producers, Jill Nadeau and Jane Rotunda, our engineer, Tyler Ditter, and our other engineer, special engineer today, because she's an expert on cheese, too, Trina LaSousa, who worked at the Cheese Market News publication before coming to Wisconsin Public Radio. She probably could have answered many of these questions herself. Anyway, Jerry Apps is here to talk with us about cheese making, and certainly we're looking forward to your questions as well at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas at WPR.org. Lois in Eau Claire, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Larry.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Yes. When I was a child in the 50s, my grandmother loved a cheese called Primost. It was brown. I think it was made at the Golden Valley Cheese Factory on County B, east of Osseo. I'm wondering if any of the 600 cheeses now made is Primost.
That's a good question. I don't know that. It sounds like it was an ethnic cheese. Is that correct? Because the Norwegians had a particular cheese. The Germans had a bunch of different ethnic cheeses. But was Primo an ethnic cheese? Do you know?
Primost. Oh, yes, yes. It was a Norwegian cheese. I think the Golden Valley Cheese Company was owned by Norwegians. They could have been owned by Swedish, but I doubt it.
Sure. Well, whether it's made today, I don't know.
Somebody may know.
I did not check the list of 600 to see whether it was on, what was on it and what wasn't.
But I tell you what, if somebody knows...
It sounds like it was one of those ethnic cheeses that were very popular with various ethnic groups. That's true.
Yeah, and if somebody knows, they'll call in, I'm pretty sure, and let us know if there's a Primost cheese still being made somewhere, or one perhaps like it. So stay listening, Lois. Stay listening. You know, this book... It's an update. It's the second edition. And there have been, as you said right at the beginning of the show, maybe talk about some of the huge changes that have taken place just in the last 22 years.
Sure. I'd be glad to do that. But I really want to slip in just a little story about Limburger cheese.
Oh, yes. Let's go back to Limburger.
You can still buy it, of course, from the Chalet Cheese Cooperative Cheese Factory. But here, I'm just going to read this little story I have in the book. And John Boosman was a cheesemaker. He's now deceased. But he told a story about a Swiss fellow who had been a cheesemaker before World War II. And when the fellow came home from the war, he decided to try something different. So he moved to Arkansas to work in the poultry business.
One day he visited the local grocery store in Arkansas and asked for Limburger cheese. Nope, I haven't got any, replied the storekeeper, but I've got a truck that goes up to Wisconsin once in a while. I'll ask the driver to haul some Limburger cheese back for you. I'll let you know when it comes. A month went by, and then 6 weeks. The fellow decided to stop by the grocery store to see if the Limburger cheese had come in. Say, did you ever get that Limburger cheese I ordered, he asked. Yeah, it came, the grocery man answered. In fact, I ordered it twice, and it came twice. It was spoiled both times. It smelled awful. I had to throw it out.
My
goodness.
You know, I've never purchased it myself, except when I've gone to Nuglaris, and I can have it in a sandwich right there, and I'm not taking
I'm
not taking it away. Going away with it, for sure.
So what are some of the changes in the last 22 years? Well, there are a bunch. But one of the major changes started in 1995 when California became the nation's major milk producer.
Yeah.
They shoved Wisconsin into second place. But Wisconsin, since 1910, has been a leader in cheese production, and it continues. So what else are some of the major changes? Specialty cheese that we've been sort of talking about here and there, that was a major change. And in many ways, and maybe this is an editorial statement on my part, but I think the specialty cheese is one, and it's about 23%, I guess, of all the cheese made today, is saving the cheese industry. That's my editorial comment. And then for many years, cheddar cheese was the leader. We made more cheddar cheese than any other kind of cheese in Wisconsin. And guess what? A few years ago, mozzarella took the lead. One of the major changes. And why did that happen? Have any of you ever heard of pizza? We used to call it pizza pie. And when the soldiers came back from Italy in World War II, when I was a kid, I remember, have you had any pizza pie? I said, what the heck is that? So pizza and mozzarella are the important ones. Mozzarella is the leader these days.
Oh, man.
And there's some changes on the dairy farm front as well. That's a whole other story. By the way, I have another book called Wisconsin Agriculture, A History. And in there, I get into all of the details of the changes in agriculture. But insofar as related to the cheese industry, we now have what we might call mega dairy farms, huge dairy farms. And they are officially known as concentrated animal feeding operations, which means they have over 700 dairy cows. And today we have 289 of those. I just looked it up this morning. Operating in Wisconsin. The largest one appears to be the Rosendale Dairy, which is located near Rosendale, Wisconsin, and it milks some 8,400 cows.
Wow.
8,400 cows. Now, I grew up on a dairy farm, and we milked, can you believe this? We milked 15 cows. 15 cows. We milked them by hand, of course. That was a different day. So those are some of the important changes. The number of dairy farms continues to go down. We produce more cheese, it seems, every year, 3 point some billion pounds of cheese. But the number of dairy farms keeps going down. In this year, as of August, we had 6,742 dairy farms. 6,742. In 1950, when I was still home on the farm, we had 143,000 dairy farms. 143,000 in 1950, 6,742 in 2021. So those are some of the changes.
Big changes. Lynn in Westby has something for us. Lynn, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Yes. So Primos is a Norwegian cheese. I don't know if it's made commercially anymore, but I've made it personally. It's a whey cheese. It's made out of the whey. And it is brown, very fine textured. It's quite sweet tasting. Traditionally, it's made out of goat milk. But you can make it out of cow milk also. And it's possible to do at home. I've done it. And it's very good tasting. It's great on crackers, and some people make sandwiches out of it also. But
no, thank you so much. That's good information. That's great. Appreciate that very much.
So it's still being, you can still make it today if you want. Lynn from Westby is proof positive that can occur. Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you think? What makes a good cheese in your mind, Jerry?
For me, I like aged cheddar. I also really like aged Swiss cheese. Oh, my gosh. It may have holes in it, but it's where it's not holy, it's really good. So those are the two cheeses that I like. I want to mention, the person from Westby mentioned this, that Norwegian cheese sometimes is made from goat milk. We are in Wisconsin. Most people don't know this. We are the leading producer of goat milk in the country. We are a goat milk leader. Also, increasingly, we have sheep milk coming into the cheese business. Both sheep milk and goat milk are contributors to the specialty cheeses.
Really, really cool. And there's some really good cheeses out there from goat. Some of the goat cheeses I love. By the way, a cheesemaker at Westby Cooperative Creamery called to say that Brunmost, they carry Brunost, Brunost, and that makes, I think that's similar to the cheese we were talking about, that brown cheese we were talking about earlier. That's the brown cheese. It's called Brunost, Brunost, from the Westby Cooperative Creamery.
They're making it there in Westby?
They're making it right there in Westby.
Yeah.
So for that other caller, you can get it in Westby, Wisconsin. You know, I just want to take a minute because yesterday in the mail, I received a copy of a book, the latest novel by Jerry Apps of Settlers Valley. And of course, I got it when I got home yesterday at around, I don't know, 6 o'clock. So I didn't have time to read it. But we'll switch gears here for these couple of minutes and talk about what have you got there with it's a novel, right?
Well, Settlers Valley is interesting enough. It's my eighth novel. All my novels are based in Wisconsin, and this one is about a group of disabled veterans who meet at Walter Reed Hospital in Washington. They were in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they end up in my fictional Ames County, Wisconsin, which is in central Wisconsin, and if you want another name for it, say Washera. they are small acreage farmers now, and there's research. I researched this, that as you take care of the land, as you try to heal the land, it will heal you. And that's the premise of the book.
Oh.
These disabled veterans, both psychologically and physically, all of them have some problem or another. They're many of them were never farmers, and they are now small acreage farmers in a community that's not so accepting as they had hoped, because they are suggesting another way of doing agriculture. And it runs into some of those who think that this is not the way to do it. That's a kind of a quick overview of Settlers Valley. But it's a ag-related story. It looks at
a lot of contemporary issues.
What the land can do to help someone who's in trouble.
Well, Jerry, I can promise you I will be reading your book. I want to thank you. Always, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, Jerry Apps, and I'm positive we will be talking again for sure. Thank you so much.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to do it.
Jerry Apps, our guest. We talk with him about cheese and his second edition of his book, Cheese, the Making of a Wisconsin Tradition, and now he's got another novel out. It's called Settler's Valley, and one you can get a copy of as well. Well, we're in our fall member drive, and Mike Crane joins me once again to talk with you about the drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. It's your gift, any amount that makes these talks possible. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
That's right. And boy, this has been a joy of an hour, hasn't it?
Oh,
I just really loved all the conversation and the stories. And I think people are voting in support of that. We've heard from 10 donors so far this hour. And thank you to everyone who gave. Our goal is 15 by 1 o'clock, and I'm sure we can get there with your help. The goals are set up to make sure we'll be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show and all the other things on WPR in the months to come.
So let's meet that goal. It happens just one gift at a time, and let's start with yours. If you haven't done it yet, why not do it now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Just thinking about the breadth of topics on the Larry Mueller Show and topics like environmental and consumer issues, gardening, how-to topics, cheese. We put Wisconsin first, authors, books, food, history, sports. You can get a lot of great advice on topics that impact your life and your community. And it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Support the Larry Mueller Show and the other programs on the Ideas Network with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mike Crane's a pretty good bicyclist. I know that for a fact. And he will probably be wearing that USA-made WPR long-sleeve shirt when it gets colder out.
It's getting colder.
It's getting colder. And you'll look pretty good in it. It's light blue. You could get one, too. It has a light blue Wisconsin-inspired design. It's a soft navy shirt, perfect for fall activities. So ask for your long sleeve shirt when you make your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm willing to bet that you don't always agree with the opinions you hear from our callers or from the newsmakers that are on. And that's a good thing. It means that you're hearing multiple points of view and that you're fully engaged in a real discussion.
It means that you're better informed about the issues because you've heard different perspectives, and you can count on WPR for this kind of experience. We're listener-supported. Your gift right now keeps that diversity of opinions on the radio. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network. It's your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your commute, and keeps you company during the day.
And the beauty of it is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. I know many first-time donors give $100 or maybe they give $10 a month. You just pick the amount that's right for you.
And your gift, along with donations from other listeners, adds up to WPR's largest source of funding. Join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Mike Crane. Listener support, biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during our drive is so important. Your gift could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
We know you value your time, so we want you to know that giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, how to get in touch, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You really do get to decide how much you'd like to contribute. We like to make suggestions. How about giving a dollar a day for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening? A dollar a day is a pretty great value. You can't buy a cup of coffee or even a soda for that these days, or a day of cell phone service.
It comes to about $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account. Some people charge it to their credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might say that WPR works on a kind of an honor system. You don't have to pay for it. You really don't. But when you do choose to support it, you're helping to make the programs that you enjoy possible. So how about a gift right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount and then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
$50 a month would work for some people, $150, whatever works for you, that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount is turned into great programs like The Larry Mueller Show that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your gift right now and in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. When you do, you play an essential part of funding for the programs you count on every day.
Well, we're looking at the list. It looks like still five more people needed to help us meet the goal for this hour. WPR is listener powered, so that's why your gift now really helps at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you do that, we'll tell you what, we'll put you in a drawing for a $250 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have five chances if you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You can get part of that, get in that drawing. And sustainers, of course, those that, who make the monthly, ongoing monthly gifts are automatically entered. And by the way, if you're not a sustainer yet, why not sign up right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Or if you are a sustainer, maybe you could make today the day you increase your support for WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We'll be going away now, but I want to, so on behalf of Mike, I want to thank you so much for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, for being a part of the community, and for supporting us. If you haven't contributed yet, why not do it right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Mike Crane for the Ideas Network.